The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning. And this very, very chilly January the 12th. You know, I'm trying to get these days to slow up a little bit, and here I am saying June. The time goes by fast enough. I don't know where the first week and a half went in January so far, but it's something we have to put up with, so let's put up with it. I've got a very special guest today. He was on a few years ago, and I was so impressed with him. In the spot that I had put in the paper and on Facebook, I called him a local and a national artist. But he's, I found out in talking to him today that even when he was in his mother's womb, he and his twin were drawing, were thinking up of things to draw. And so I'm going to introduce Stu Eichel. Morning, Stu.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right. We spoke a little bit about having a talent, and you were fortunate enough to have it at an early age rather than come upon it, you know, in your teens or in your early work life. So what about all these pictures that you and your brother, you have a twin, you and your brother used to paint in school?
Yeah, well, we both had that talent so early that we were the ones that they took our work and put it up on all of the boards and everything. We had a class where they brought the mothers and fathers to the school, and all the work that was up on the walls was my twin brother and mine. But we were very lucky because I literally have to believe that we were born with it, because when they start putting your stuff in kindergarten, where did you learn it?
Yeah, that's it. And now your brother was, as you said, is equally talented.
Yeah, he's in Manhattan, and he does beautiful paintings and all kinds of drawings and stuff. We're both still doing art. I have to tell you this. I did have to be smart enough to get into graphic design and go to I sat in Detroit, and I had the GI Bill,
uh-huh.
And I said, what's the best art school in the country? And Pratt Institute in Brooklyn was it. And so I learned to do graphic design, and that's the way I supported myself for at least 30 years.
Well, you were saying something, and I made a comment, and you laughed and said, no, not me, but no, and the words that you would give an artist if they asked you for advice was get a second job. And that's not so much a knock on the talent of the artist, but the fact that you can produce paintings, but not everybody, you're not going to sell them every one time you paint. You're not going to sell a painting. So you create a bunch of paintings, and you do sell some.
Right, but I have to say that, like it or not, and I'm the one that should say it as an artist, art is a absolute luxury, total luxury. It doesn't feed you, it doesn't clothe you, it doesn't shelter you. And while I think I'd hate to think of a world without art, because I think it's what makes life worth living, as far as that's from my point of view.
Your webpage is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
And I would recommend, if you want to look at some beautiful art, or even thinking of art, and Stu also does pencil drawings, which take a lot more time than conventional painting. You can go to www.stueichelart.com. fantastic webpage, and one of the little quotes here talking about getting a second job was, I read a lot, so I knew that painters starve and cut their ears off because they didn't have anything else to fall back on. I thought that was pretty neat. The topics of your paintings that you paint, where do they come from? When do you get that idea that you're going to work on a certain element of paintings?
Well, the subject matter it really interests me when it I took something like vehicles. When they really, really get old and sit and rot, and I was fortunate enough to find in Greenwich a gent who has 28 acres of old cars sitting there, and he sells parts. But what I did was, go out there and paint for 2 years. And the cars, to me, are very much, as crazy as it seems, it's like painting people. You know, I mean, I look at a car almost as a human being, and they, just the same as your body ages, cars age and fall apart. And the more age they get, the better they are for me. And I've been told, oh, you got to come and see this. And I go and see an old car that's in, looks like it came right out of a showroom. That is not what I do. I love them when they're I hate to say it, the worse condition that they're in, the better subject matter they are for me.
And sitting in a field.
Right.
So you've got some nice scenery around it. And there's character. And,
yeah, well, the guy from Greenwich said, you know, I'd be happy to move this stuff. I said, don't touch, all this stuff. The cars look like they're growing out of vines.
That's
said, don't
neat.
Touch it.
Well, you know, I mean, I love your work quite a bit. And when I was talking to you the other day, I said, you know how a sculpture, I've heard where in their mind they can look at a block of marble and see what they want to sculpt inside that marble. So what they do, they chisel the marble away from what they want to sculpt. And they have, and that's how they see what they want to do and how it turns out. And your subjects, like you just said, are cars sitting in the middle of a field where the owner wants to pull it out and put it on display, and that's not what you want. And it's the same, I think, with, I know you like barns, and it's the same probably with barns, too. The older that they are, the more character they have.
Well, what's incredible about barns is, for one thing, have you ever seen a bad barn, what I call a bad barn?
No.
I mean, there's never come across a barn, hardly, that I couldn't want to paint. And so I've painted, I hate to say it, hundreds, literally hundreds. I go out to look for a barn to paint, and I have to really, really get a distance from home because I've painted all the barns that are close by.
Where did you start your painting life?
Well, that's a crazy story, too, in a way, because I quit advertising. I was a creative director, which is a great job, but I quit advertising just as I turned 60, and I went back as a student. I'm talking about with the kids that went from high school into art school. I went back to Pratt Institute and learned how to paint. I wanted to paint, but I had done beautiful. I was happy with the pencil stuff I did, but it took too long. It took 3 months to do a single pencil drawing.
Wow.
So, but the painting, I didn't. Somebody said to me, "What media do you use when you paint?" What the hell is media? You know, I mean, it was that I didn't know how to do it really, and so I went back, like I say, at the age of 60, and I learned how to paint.
Yeah, that's neat. And you don't use anything like acrylic paint?
I've done acrylic painting, and uh-huh. I know what's good, what works for me about acrylics and what doesn't. My preference is oil painting, and I started so late in life at the 60s. I said, you know what I'm not going to do is mess around with experimenting with what kind of paint. I know that oil painting is very prestigious. For whatever the reason, I don't buy it, but if you sell an oil painting, it's worth more than an acrylic painting. So I said, as long as I can get good in one thing at my age, I'll take it.
Sure.
But the last thing in the world I knew was that I was going to have 30 more years of painting.
Well, hey, look, hopefully you'll have another 30, you know.
I'll take it.
Because, yes, I think we all would. Now you said the longest that you have gone without painting was how long?
Well, I went for 6 months. I had a health issue and I couldn't. And then I came back and now I'm right back doing it full time, so that's great.
And you said before that you didn't go 3 days without...
No, I would say 3 days is a long time for me not to go. The weather is the only thing that matters. Now, in the winter, I paint from photos that I take, only photos that I take, because I get a lot of fans who say, I found this old car, and they send me a wonderful photo of an old car, but I won't paint from other people's works. You know,
sure.
To me, the photo they took is art.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's theirs, and it's,
right.
It might not be what you want. One of the other things, your paintings are put in a lot of different places. We talked about some of the tractors that you do, the farm tractors. I made a suggestion that maybe someday when you're not doing them anymore, they go into a farmer's museum or something. But you told me that you already have a couple.
Well, I had a gent who went around. I hate to say it, but artists probably are the worst business people in the world. What I can't do is stand there and discuss price with somebody, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You hire like an agent.
Yeah, and
he
got me in the John Deere Museum, which is a huge, on my resume, nothing is more prestigious than that. They bought four of my paintings.
That's amazing. How many paintings do you think you have altogether that you've done over the years?
Well,
I mean, not the ones that you sold. I know you sold a bunch of them. But.
Well, that's a spooky problem that every artist has. I paint and I sell as much as any artist does, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But in the percentage of paintings that I actually sell compared to the paintings that I do is infinitesimal. And
okay.
I don't know any artist that has to say the same thing. And I mentioned this to you before, but I ask other artists, I say, you know, when you pass, what happens to your work? And I've never come across one artist that has a plan. It's just like, oh, guy, you know, the garbage goes out on Thursday.
And I can't see that myself with anybody that goes to the website when they see what you do. I can't imagine that ever happening. I think it'd be sad. Now you've displayed your paintings in different places,
yes,
also, correct?
Right.
Where are some of the places that you've displayed them?
Oh golly! Well, I've lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, for 30 years, and I've been in Saratoga for 30 years, and. There's hardly a place that I haven't shown them that shows art, you know. And I've been in Nashville, and they have a big, beautiful museum there. They've been in a bunch of museum places. Almost every little local gallery, you know, for a period of time.
Sure. Like the coffee shops when you go in, you have... Some paintings on the wall? Or?
Well, I've got some on the wall in Sobey Fair, which is the art store, a very good art store
right.
in Saratoga. And, you know, I'm 86 years old, so I hate to say it, but I'm not into traveling like I used to be.
Sure.
So I would show in places much farther away from Saratoga. But now I'm happy to paint, you know, be more of a local artist,
local
to be honest.
Local artist,
yeah.
Because I know... we spoke before. I mean, I grew up in Gloversville, and I know you enjoyed going down there, but it was over a period of time. And, you know, back then you enjoyed traveling, obviously, because, you know, it's not like going to Boston Spa, although it's not that far away. But and when you sit there, you like people to come by and watch what you're doing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really an incredible gift in a way that I mentioned to you that when I'm painting, people say, "Oh my God, I'd give $1 million to do what you're doing." And, you know, like you said jokingly, "Where's the million?"
Yeah, where's the million? I'll show you how to do it, and you got my equipment.
I have never, ever been interested in teaching. It's just not a vocation that I see. I do not teach. I've been asked to teach, and I say thank you, but no thanks.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm just so darn fortunate to have the skill, and any artist, anybody who's an artist knows what I'm talking about. But when you know, it's kind of self-serving to say, wow, I'm the luckiest guy in the world, but I am.
Yeah, and that's great, and you're doing something at this stage in your life that you really love to do. And I know I mentioned Gloversville only because we discussed character, and even though the city may not be as, I think I compare Gloversville going in the opposite direction of Saratoga. Gloversville used to be the place where everybody wanted to go. And I think Saratoga for a month, that this was August place to go. And they didn't have much during the year, but then they created these three Northway entrances to the city, the south side, the 14 and 15. And that drew more people to get here easier. And of course, then the city started building up.
Well, it is a big art center. It really is a lot of focus on art in Saratoga. Yeah.
But getting back to Gloversville, I mean, you saw things down there that I don't think people living there, because of the distressed area that it became when the industries moved out. But you saw something there. And we talked about something that had character, and that's why you paint them. And we'll get into a couple of the other things, but you saw some character down there.
Well, the Glove Theater is the best example of that to me, because it's one of the, I as a kid, when I was, I think, maybe 15 or 16, I was an usher in a theater, I saw all that kind of stuff out there.
Yeah. Now, did you get free popcorn when you were an usher? Because I would have gone for that. I would have given up probably 50 cents of my pay for all the popcorn you can eat. But it's... Now, you only have prints available in pencil drawings, in the pencil drawing section, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, what does that... I got confused when I read that. What's that mean now?
Well, I did limited editions of the prints of the pencil drawings and spent 5 years going across the country selling them. Uh-huh. I got them into over 300 galleries across the country. Wow. And they were just, you know, I was able to literally say to the person in a tiny little town in Podunk, okay, you say you have your own black and white stuff you sell. Can you look at it and look at mine and compare them? And they say, oh my gosh, yeah, there's... And then they take a couple of them. So I was able to make out, because I think, while I'm very happy with the stuff I've done in paint and all that stuff, the pencil drawings were among the best I've ever seen. And I shouldn't be saying that about my own stuff. The paintings, I love them, but I've seen a lot of people do great paintings of trucks and cars and buildings.
Sure. Well, that's... You know, I think when you're as good as you are... there's no reason not to be proud of what you do, and I would say the same thing to people. I wouldn't be embarrassed of what I do, because, like I say, the best thing that someone can do is to go to the website and look at what you've done and then be impressed. I know I was.
Well, let me tell you something else. I'm not good at, I'm the world's worst technical person working with machines, but my wife, Greta, who I met in Pratt, we went through Pratt Institute together, and we're still working together. And she does all my graphic design, and that's like hiring she was won national awards in graphic design. So here I am with that sitting there, you know, for me, instead of me having to develop those skills, which I flat, you know, I don't have particularly.
Sure. So you either would have had to get somebody.
Absolutely, to do the posters and put them together. You saw I showed you a bunch of cartoon stuff I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And Greta has designed all those things. So all I have to do is do the art, and the rest of it is taken care of.
Well, I hope you take good care of Greta, you know.
I better. I have to.
That's right. That's what I mean. You have to. Now, for you will if someone order, can someone order the paintings or the pencil drawings online?
Yeah, I have a website, and again, I'm so bad at technical stuff. My wife handles most of that. But yeah, I can sell them through the mail.
Okay.
But the website is pretty good. It covers almost every subject matter that I've done.
Okay. And let's talk. Okay, we talked about the tractors. Now the cars. That you have that vision of that car. What it must have been like when it was new, and what it is now, and I'm going to keep using this word, but it has character, even though that it's sitting out in a field. I mean, they're to some people that is a nice sight to see, because I like to see the tall grass or and have something in there and just kind of.
Well, what's amazing to me is that I have been able to find, luckily, the things that when I was a kid, I'm talking about 5 or 6, my father had a car. We didn't drive it except on weekends to go swimming somewhere or something like that. But it was one of those really old Art Nouveau-looking cars.
Uh-huh.
Now I find them where I can go ahead and paint them. And that's because one guy has 28 acres, and he collects them and sells parts.
Well, we have a caller here, so I think we'll take the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Rick. It's Uncle Jack.
How are you?
I'm good. Rick, the fact that you've got an artist on is interesting to me because, as you know, I was an architect.
Yep, I remember.
In order to get into college, I didn't have any art courses.
Really?
So as a high school senior, I had to do 12 drawings to convince the dean that I had the talent to become an architect.
Yeah. Well, you did a good job on. You had a great career as an architect, so you must have gotten something from the art class.
Well, I still have about 10 of the 12 drawings, and I'm still proud of them. But I haven't done anything artistically since, except design my own home in Fayetteville.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should start as a hobby.
Well, that's, you know, I am supposed to do things to distract myself from the loss of Marie.
Right. But,
I chose writing.
Oh, that's right. You're writing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have to go to Stu's website and see his work. I think you'd enjoy it.
Let me say this. My wife is an artist.
Actually, the point I wanted to make is that I look at these. I still have 10 of those drawings, and I'm in awe of the talent I had as a senior in high school and don't have any more.
Well,
I haven't... The attempts I've made at drawing since have been poor. So,
well, we'll talk about that off the air. So listen to it, okay? Because Stu has some things.
I understand.
All right.
Yeah.
Great talking to you.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye bye.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. Well, I think our. You were saying about your wife, and then I want to get back to
it. My wife was an artist, but she literally gave up painting and stuff to do writing. So I think we all realize when we're artists how fortunate we are to have an art in our life. And she's still every bit as much involved with art. It's just that she writes instead of doing pictures like
sure.
I do.
So now my uncle was an architect and then took art in his senior year, and now he's writing. So it's backwards.
Absolutely. But I admire him for the fact that he figured out there's ways to earn living off something that involves art, because architecture is certainly art, and yet you get paid for that.
Sure. Well, one of the things he said that resonated with me was that he ended up from school in architecture of being a good drawer or being a good artist, but now he can't. And isn't that because you don't keep up with that? I mean, is it something that you can do and then put down for 40 years or so and then come up again?
Let me just tell you this, because I've run through this with a lot of friends. I have never taken, quotes, a vacation from painting or drawing or doing something art. But I have many friends who have. And if you think it leaves you, it's because you're not trying hard enough to get back. It never leaves you. You never get worse. I know people, because of health issues and different reasons, had to separate. They don't fall back because of it. It's just the day that they can do it again. They're right back where they left off. They don't even lose ground.
So it's just like riding a bike.
Absolutely.
You don't forget. Once you start, you don't forget. So, well, then I'll tell my uncle he should start. Well, he's writing, so that's one way he can get his focus. One of the things, some of your prints are sold out, and they're not on the web page. That's what I got from reading the website, that they're
absolutely
not available.
I think 8 of them, there were 26, I believe, and 8 of them are sold out. But I don't, because I'm so far removed from doing the pencil drawings, and that was because of the amount of time they took to do an individual piece of art. I'm not into trying to actively sell the pencil drawings.
Okay. And that's a shame. Now, one of the things we talked about, the cars and the trucks, that the farm trucks that are out there, and the barns. You do any covered bridges?
When I find one, I've got a covered bridges. It's just a case of what I find.
What do you find?
But I don't go looking, it's what I come across. I don't really go out and say, I got to find a covered bridge. But when I find one, I'll always do it. And as long as it's not, and I've seen this really, where it's in too good condition, believe it or not, I like them again to look like they're growing out of vines.
Okay. Because I know my wife and I and another couple that are friends of ours have been going to Vermont for a day trip for 30 years. And when you go to Vermont, there's covered bridges all over the place. And matter of fact, I think Vermont ran out of places to put pavement, and they just built a covered bridge to connect the two. But there are a lot of older ones, but like you said, they are rebuilding, and they put the date of the original bridge. I don't understand that. They've completely remodeled the bridge except for the planks. They reinforced those, and they put down the bridge was put there in 18-something. Well, it surely isn't an 1875 bridge, with all new wood and stuff. So,
but look at those two bridges that go into Albany, those.
Oh, the twin bridges there?
I read a couple years back that they're tearing down bridges like that now because they've all been put up at practically not quite the same time, but very close to it, and they're all going. They're all hurting.
Yeah, and that's too bad.
Yep.
There you go again. The things have character, and they're just coming down.
Well, those big metallic arches are a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to build them that way today.
No. Matter of fact, I can't tell this story joke. It's not necessarily anything, but it's just I don't want to insult anybody. You will go outside now and paint, but it's got to be over 50 degrees, and I don't blame you.
You're right, and I do an awful lot of photography and save it for the winter, and I just stick it on a pole and paint it just the same as I'm in front of it. And actually, it's easier to do that because I don't have to chase the sun like I do when I'm right there on the scene.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you have to be careful of the shadows, and you have to be moving them a hair as you do it. It's a much tougher thing than when you have a beautiful photo at which I take decent photos and then paint from it.
At the right time.
Right, exactly.
So the moral is, if you see an older distinguished gentleman running up and down Broadway with an easel and paints, you know he's trying to catch the sun.
Forgive me, I've reached a degree of fame because I've been painting so long in Saratoga. And there's not anybody who hasn't seen me. They say, you're a really old, yeah, that's him.
Well, what are the conditions that have to be right to paint. I know we said here the light has to be correct. Is there any other thing that, that has to be, you know, in sync for you to get a good...
There's so many... For one thing, do I want to do a close-up or do I want to go far back and get stuff around it? Mm-hmm. There's so much variety that I can pick myself from a scene. It's just finding the scene. I'll find a way to do it. It's just a case of what does back. But I may want to go to a car and be far back with vines and trees around it, or I may want to go right smack up and do the grill. And I've got paintings where I did nothing but the grill.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. One of the more interesting or humorous things that you paint are fire hydrants. And now we can't document this, but as you said, you've never heard of anyone else painting fire hydrants. And that's not painting the fire hydrant physically. It's painting, putting the fire hydrant on.
Right, exactly. Now, I want to make a big point of that. I've had a million people tell me, oh, we're having a festival and everybody's painting a fire. Well, what they're doing is they're painting a picture on the fire hydrant. That's not what I'm talking about. No. I discovered that you can get a fire hydrant in so many odd places, in so many different... I thought fire hydrants were all red when I started out. And there's many different colors and also many states of the physical condition of them is vary. So I found that you could do... an endless amount of fire hydrants, plus the fact I've seen fire hydrants that I would bet that if I showed them to you, you would say, that's a fire hydrant? Really? Because I didn't know that there's a tremendous variety in the look and build of the fire hydrants.
Well, I would think that, too, if you go into rural cities or villages or towns, the fire hydrants are a lot different than they are in the city.
Well, they're different, a lot of different. Plus, imagine this. I mean, I've got one blue fire hydrant. Who in the hell paints fire hydrants blue? You know, the only one I've ever found. But the bottom line is a lot of, I would say there's more yellow fire hydrants than there are red. Mm-hmm. And there's a million different, not just a single color, but variations, you know, two or three colors on a fire hydrant. And when I did them, that's one of the things that made the show so interesting. Because if I did, you know, 50 paintings and they were all red fire hydrants, it wouldn't be that interesting.
Right. Now, I found out something a while back that the fire hydrant really could be any color, but the little the knobs on top that they turn the fire hydrant on with, that's a different color. They can be different. That's how much pressure that fire hydrant puts out.
Wow.
Like if it has a blue top, it may put out, I honestly don't know, that it's a 6-inch pipe. Or if it's a yellow top, it might only be a 4-inch water
line coming out. Well, you know a lot more about
fire hydrants than I do. Well, I just heard this from a place because I had a fire. Wow. And I didn't have the output enough to get the fire. And so I was told that you can tell how much pressure will come out, and because of the line, and those, it's painted with a code, and the fire department knows what the codes are for the different colors, and they can open up a bigger line if they have to.
Sounds like I could go to college to learn about fire hydrants.
See that? You know, and somebody will call and say, you don't know what you're talking about, but right now, that's a good story. No, that's what I was told anyway. Some of the other things that you've gone, you know, we talked about some country painting and the pencil drawings. Your landscapes are very nice, too.
I appreciate that. And I have to say, I avoided for a long time, on purpose, doing landscapes, because when you take a single subject that's most painted, I would say it has to be landscapes. I think there's more people to do that. So I had no interest in doing what I thought most of the other artists were doing. But then when I got into it, I said, my gosh, you know, there is a real challenge when you're using only what God put down there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's, you're not adding to it. And I look for landscapes that I find interesting, and it can depend on the amount of trees, if it's overwhelmed with trees, with vines, or just, you know, whatever makes it happen. And I had no trouble finding enough landscapes, and I found that the thinking part is a bigger challenge than the painting.
Really?
Yeah, for me it was.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You know, as I said, I grew up in Gloversville, and in a small town outside of Johnstown, there was an ice cream store that made their own ice cream. And on Sundays after dinner, we'd take my grandparents for a ride, and we'd go down and get ice cream. And there was you had to go down a large hill. And when you looked straight ahead, there were beautiful trees on the side, and there were three different plots, squares of farmland. One was just soil, one was, let's say, wheat, and the other was, I don't know what color alfalfa is, but a green crop. And when you went down the hill, it looked so beautiful. I said, if somebody could paint this, they'd have a $1 million painting. It looks so beautiful. Well, about 3 or 4 years ago, my wife and I took a ride down there, and I went down that hill, and of course, it was gone. The overgrowth with the trees hanging down now in the road.
How about a housing development replacing it?
Probably a housing development, but I mean, it lost its beauty because everything had grown in between, and you just couldn't get that surreal feeling when you went down there. I mean, it was real. I mean, we took a ride when our kids were young down there just to see that view. It was so pretty. Probably should have taken a picture of it is what I should have done.
Yeah, because nothing lasts forever. And the unfortunate, my wife always kids me saying I'm the kiss of death, because if I see something great 4 or 5 times and don't paint it, the next time when I say now I'm doing it, guess what? Gone off the face of the earth.
That's the kiss of death. Yeah. The angel of death, we'll call you. Businesses, now they have a certain appeal to you too, don't they?
Absolutely. It's not. It doesn't matter what inhabits the, you know, what kind of business or what the building is, as long as it's interesting enough. But I've gone to downtown Saratoga and painted almost every business that I felt was worth doing, and that was a lot of them, because unlike Tennessee, where it was old American, this is kind of old European, and I found it to be very, very interesting. And there was hardly a building that I couldn't do a painting of.
Well, that's neat. Now, is there any type of business that you would that you do that you enjoy more than another? I mean,
yeah, not really. You know, I find, you know, restaurants, anything from restaurants to some things that sell, the art supply store in Saratoga, all of them have an interesting front. And if you're a decent painter, hopefully you can pull out what makes a great painting out of those things.
Well, you know, one of the, I'll go back to the pencil drawings again, and you did a series of post offices. Yep. And I know you did the older post offices, I don't know. There's when you go on your site, I think the character, as I said before, and I keep using this word, but I really believe that there's so much character in your art that, you know, you can take a look at early 1900s post office that was an old wooden building, and the postmaster was probably sitting out on the front porch in a rocking chair, and it looks beautiful.
Well, the one that I did the most of, I don't remember really accentuating, you know, my emphasizing post office as much as I do the firehouses.
Okay.
You know, and I found, from really big, solid stone structures, the things that look like they were put up, you know, with tinsel, you know, I mean, just, there's no one kind of engine
firehouse,
place.
Yeah.
Firehouse, right. And it was a lot of fun, and I had a show, literally did enough of them, and I had a show of firehouses.
Really?
Yep.
And you could have put the fire hydrants right next to it. And
you know, Chid, you just now said that I never put that together, but yeah, that's a funny coincidence.
And you did a lot of Saratoga scenes other than just downtown, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I did the parks. Of course, we have great parks. I like to go out there, and I'm big on doing, if I find a really, I hate to sound like I'm crazy, but I know most of the trees in Saratoga, you know, because there's certain trees that I painted four or five times because they're so good. So I can say that I know almost all the, quotes, good trees in Saratoga, which is kind of a weird thing to say, but I go out and paint them.
You know what? When you do a painting of anything, it's good. I mean, if you're an artist and you go out and paint a fire hydrant, it's something special to look at that. If you like fire hydrants, you paint a picture of a tree. You're not crazy for doing it because people may like trees and One of the things, if you ever painted a Dutch elm tree, remember olden days, but they used to put the elm trees on streets so that they would canopy the streets, and then we got that disease. So it's very hard to find a nice elm tree around anymore. And when, the street I used to live on when I was growing up, I mean, you could look down the hill, and it was beautiful, beautiful canopy of elm trees on both sides.
Well, it really doesn't matter, as I mentioned to you, the subject matter doesn't really matter. To me, and any artist that I know that's worth a salt can do a decent paint job. It's finding stuff.
Right.
And I've been I searched for it, that's for sure. It doesn't just happen by accident. But I've been very, very lucky in the great things that were standing there waiting for me, so to speak.
Yeah, that's you got the eye. I mean, myself, I wouldn't know. Well, first of all, I told you, if I draw a picture of a human, it's a stick figure. And even that, I can't get the bends right for one of them bending an arm. But I think, you have to have a certain look of what you want to do.
I've been very, very fortunate in that. One of the nicest compliments I ever got after I did my show of fire hydrants, I've had five or six people say, I'll never look at a fire hydrant the same way again.
there are some non-humans that say that, too.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a little bit of a music interlude for a minute or a minute and a half, and I want to catch my breath, and I want to ask Stu a couple questions. So we'll be back in about a minute or so. And what I want you to do is just enjoy here.
Shipping and insuring is too much.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. You're back with us, and thank you for listening to my interlude music here. One of the other things, Stu, that I wanted to hit on some of the items that you painted, it seems like, you painted everything. You paint anything that looks very interesting to you. And one of the things that I see here are industry. Now, I know one of the things you did here in Saratoga because it's on the website. But what are some of the industries that you've painted?
Well, there's a big smokestack in Mechanicsville that was damaged to some degree when they had, I think they had a tornado there a bunch of years ago.
Yeah, they did.
And I go back there and I find those things are perfect for me as long as they're damaged to some degree, which is kind of funny. And I've painted, golly, I'm trying to think of there's a big kind of a funny cone in a place in Saratoga that's gone completely, but when I painted it, the building hadn't been changed. It's totally rebuilt, and it's a different kind of business. But there was some kind of industrial cone.
Well, there was the Van Ralt.
That's it.
Yes, Van. Yeah, and that is on the website too. People can see that. You got
to
look at your website there, Stu. I mean, it's amazing things you'll find on there. And another topic is manners, and not MANNERS, but MANORS.
Right. Well, you know, I'm so lucky in Saratoga. We have North Broadway and we have Union, and it's just loaded with great, great mansions. And I've gone out there and I've painted every mansion that I wanted to paint.
Okay.
And it was one complete show, and it was just from the manors from one town.
And I think you did the Bachelorville too, didn't you?
To me, if you had to pick a trademark for Saratoga, I think the Bachelorville Mansion is as close to something that I would say, wow, that's Saratoga.
Yeah.
But I find that to be, if I had to pick a single building that interests me the most in Saratoga, it would be that mansion.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, like you said, with Union Avenue and North Broadway, there are some beautiful houses that, you know, are very nice. Not the one that was put up there with the bricks that's new, the newer ones, but there's a lot of older ones. And, you know, they have a lot of stories, too, back when this was just the August place to be, and then Saratoga had to survive on its own for 11 months of the year. Those houses on North Broadway here were owned by people that, some very wealthy and well-known people. I know one of them was a Payson family, and they own the New York Mets. They used to have those houses. And they had no heat in them because they only used them for August. And they would turn the water off, and, you know, there really was no need for heat because nobody stayed in them.
Well, one thing I think that's interesting about those is I thought that they were an individual owner, and most of those places now, my understanding is they're boarding houses. They have maybe 10 or 12 people staying in different parts of them.
Yeah, and a lot of them were done over, and they're beautiful now. I mean, I think they each sell for well over $1 million. Years ago when they didn't have the heat and that, and my father-in-law was a carpenter. And he had to go in every spring to plane the doors and the windows so they would shut because they would swell with the, because they didn't have heat, the doors would get moisture in them.
Well, you know, I've heard this from people who have lived in the close to the Broadway and far up in Saratoga, mm-hmm. where they have those big mansions, that all of them are a nightmare as far as maintenance goes,
yeah.
because they weren't built with today in mind. You know,
that's right.
A lot of the things that you just take for granted go on the old building. So people, and I know people who owned them and got rid of them because they were a money pit.
Back my father, my in-laws, next-door neighbor, owned a fruit company in town, and he owned one of them. And he was trying to give it away in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, because they were one of the big houses that didn't have heat, had a lot of, needed an awful lot of work because of that. And what a difference a day makes, you know,
yeah.
because they're right here in front of the college, because we're on North Broadway here. And that happened a lot in Saratoga, because Saratoga was a summer place to be. I mean, they had one of the biggest hotels in the world here in Saratoga years
ago. That's
the
one that burned down, I think.
They had, all three of them burned. Yeah. It amazes me how many hotel rooms they had back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
I heard that at one time it was the biggest hotel in America.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. And I can't remember if it was called the Great American Hotel. I think that was one of the ones in Saratoga.
Was it the Union or something?
And then there was the Grand Union Hotel. And then there was another hotel. And they were all full in the summertime.
Wow.
I think with the baths and the racetrack. And even back when Saratoga wasn't like it is today, it was a town that was busy in the summertime, and what they did in the winter, I don't know with all those hotel rooms, but there were quite a few, I'll tell you. It was amazing, and I think they would have been great for you to paint. I mean, that would have been...
Yeah. Saratoga is a funny place in that we live in Interlaken, which is a large, fairly large development,
mm-hmm.
and we are the only people, or almost the only people who live there all year, because there's so many people who come, believe it or not, can afford to come for 1 month a year,
yeah.
and they own the place, they don't even rent it out,
yeah,
and then they go to Florida for the most of the year.
Yeah, well, you know what, it's, I mean, if we want to just branch off of the paintings for a little bit, a lot of the townhouses in Saratoga or condos, that's what's happening. A lot of people come here. They're not year-round residents, but they go to Florida, Arizona, or wherever in the wintertime.
Right.
6 months of the year, they're here. Maybe 6 months, they're away. And I guess unless they're here 6 months in a day, they're not counted as year-round residents. So the population of Saratoga, even with the explosion of buildings and houses and apartments, hasn't grown that much in the last 20 years, because a lot of people that move in here aren't year-round residents.
Absolutely right.
So, and, you know, I mean, when I was on the board of the senior center, we are the fastest growing city of retired people or of seniors in the state, because a lot of people from downstate retire. They want to live in an area that has a lot of amenities, so they move to Saratoga. Now, if you sell your house down in New York or on Long Island, you're getting a lot more money than you would sell a house here. So they can move up here and like you said, have a house and be away for 6 months and still live comfortably. And I think, you know, if you can do it, that's great. But and then the city swells to about 30,000 tourists in the summertime for the track and the state park and everything we have around here. So it's kind of a interesting city that way.
It is. I have to tell you one funny thing. We didn't know the difference between Sarasota and Saratoga when we moved there. I was out jogging and saw the racetrack, and people think you just take it for granted that if you move to Saratoga from somewhere else, you're there because of the track.
Oh, exactly.
And for me, we've been to the track one time in the 20 years we've been out here. And we have, it's just us. You know, we have no interest in it. We
sure.
want to keep the money we have.
Well, you know, my in-laws lived three blocks up on East Avenue from the racetrack, and they never saw a live race. But what they used to enjoy doing was taking breakfast down early in the morning. They'd take coffee and bagels down and watch the workouts at dusk, you know, or dawn. And there were quite a few people that do that. And then there's a lady there that explains who the horses are, what barns they're from. And they used to love doing that, but they never saw a live race in their life, and they lived
That's
three blocks
funny.
Away.
I've heard a lot of people say the same thing. They go for that ritual, that one thing.
That's right.
But they don't really go to the, you know, for me, I hate to say it, but the one time we went to the track, and you have to wait, what is it, 20 minutes between races or something?
Yeah,
like
oh,
that.
At least 20 minutes.
I have to tell you that after 20 minutes, we're gone.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, but... there's a draw now. I mean, like you had said before, there's an artistic draw to Saratoga now. There's the races, of course, in the summertime. There's the arts with the ballet and the orchestra.
Well, we have a great arts center, too.
And we have a great arts center, and that started from a small building and then ended up when they built the new library in the old library,
right.
And it's very good. Now we're doing the, not me, but there's an organization redoing the, you have the drawing or the painting on your website of the church, the old church, on
right. Preservation Hall.
Right now, they're right, and they're even making Preservation Hall bigger.
I have to tell you this: one thing that attracted you to Preservation Hall painting to do was that the stairway was falling apart, and now they fix the stairway, so I never would have done the painting.
Yeah, yeah, the angel of death. But anyway. So you have a wide variety of artwork, and I want to give your website out again and some information on you. Before we do that, though, we have a couple minutes to go, 4 minutes to go. You find it very hard, or not hard, but expensive today to mail a painting out, and because of the cost of shipping it out, of
course.
Not
just shipping, it's the insurance. That's also, you need insurance for a certain amount.
Right, and right. We know that it's expensive.
Yes, it
to,
is.
Yeah. If you could email it, it'd be easier, but you can't fit a painting like that in the computer. But Stu's website is www.stueichel.com. A-R-T. That's stueichelart.com. And if you want to get a hold of him to talk to him about any of his information, paintings, or whatever, his email is Stu Eichel, that's stueichel, at NICAP, and that's NYCAP.RR.com. And by mail, you can get a hold of Stu at Stu Eichel, two words on this one, STUEICHEL, 45 Sarazen Street, and that's SARAZEN Street in Saratoga Springs, 12866. Or if you want to call him by phone. See, you're writing now, so if you want to get them by phone, you can get them at 518, that's area code 518-587-2532. That's 587-2532. So there's plenty of ways to get a hold of Stu. If you didn't get one of them, you can go to the website, stueichelart.com, and I would tell anyone, even if you just want to look at him, to go there and view what he does, you'll be amazed. And, you know, Stu, we didn't get into the cartoons that much, but you know what that means? That means you're going to have to be here again at some point in the future if you'd like to. And we can talk about the cartoons and your wife's graphic artist work on saving you a lot of money by her doing the work. And if that's okay with you, I'd like to have you on again maybe in the fall.
Great, thank you.
Okay, and I want to thank everybody, especially Stu, for being with us this morning. It's very, very chilly out, and I think it's supposed to get chillier, so... the one good thing is we don't have snow here, but they do in the mountains if you like to ski. So if you go out today, dress for it, wear gloves, a hat, and a nice cozy coat. And we'll be back next Saturday with another special guest. And I hope you're with us. The music portion's from 7 to 8. And our talk show is from 8 to 9 right here on 91.1 WSPN Skidmore Radio. Everybody have a great weekend.